Praise God. How are you doing today? How are you doing? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Isaiah chapter 64. Our salvation 27. Don't forget what I have said about this series, our salvation. There are things that you should learn to play for your friends, for your family, for your parents. There are things that they are showable. They are not like just a stretch of connected messages. They are all, I can say, individual messages that talks about the same thing. That's why I just call it as assumption. You can pick any one of the parts, share with your friends, share with your colleagues, and any one of the series, any of the parts, any of the tracks, is enough to convince you of the reality of our salvation. Amen. Say we are here because of salvation. Say we trust God because He saved us well. Okay, Isaiah 64. Let's read from verse 1 to 6 together. When you are there. The reason why we cannot trust God in any other thing is because He's really mighty to save. He saves very well. That song that we sing that in us, that not the works of my hand can fulfill your Lord's demand. Amen. But glory, we have even seen that God does not demand anything. He's not the one demanding. But this man that always have this perception that I have to present, give something to God for you to give me back. God places no demand on man. Say, God has placed no demand on me as touching salvation. Isaiah 64, let's read together from verse 1 to go. Yes. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, and the mountains might flow down thy presence, as when bonnet, fire caused the waters to boil, to make thy name known to the adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence, when thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou comest down, the mountains flow down at thy presence. But since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He had prepared for them that waited for Him. So Paul interpreted verse 4 as what? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, right? Verse 10, right? Eyes 9 and 10. Eyes has not seen, ears has not heard, neither has any mind conceived the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit says all things, gave the deep things of God. So Paul interpreted this place as not only the giving of the Spirit, also the revelation that comes by the Spirit, which are all a post-redemptive reality. Pay attention to each word, to each sentence. Please don't be distracted. That is why you are in church. So let's read verse 4 to 6. Want to go? Yes. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard and perceived by the ear, neither have the eyes seen, O God, beside thee, what He had prepared for him that waited for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiced and walketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Yo, thou art wrought, for we have seen. In those continuous, and we shall be saved. Verse 6, yes, for we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rag, and we do. This, like the wind, has taken us away. Amen. Now, if you see that verse 5 and 6, that is a self-assessment of man. You are not called to assess yourself as touching salvation. Why you will say you are like a filthy rag, this is not assessment of God or man. This is man trying to assess himself. This is man trying to set an exam for himself, marking himself, thinking that is how God is looking at him. Because if we saw the mindset of God in verse 4, it said, eyes has not even seen. That is the prophet speaking by the inspiration of God. The eyes has not seen, ears has not heard the things that God has prepared for them. And we saw them as wonderful things, not only salvation, the giving of the Spirit, the revelations that comes by the Spirit, the epistles, much more in the internet ministry. That is the stuff he's talking about in verse 4. But man keeps assessing himself. Man keeps saying, but this is me, this is me, this is me. I've told you that is the dilemma in Romans chapter 7. That is when it becomes too much of me, I. I myself. Always a slippery road that leads to condemnation. Amen. Amen. Okay. So that's how the prophets write. So go come back to Book of Romans, chapter 3. So I will say it this way: no demands of man is enough for salvation, because God has demanded nothing upon man for man for salvation. God is not making any demand. God has placed no demand on man. Romans chapter 3. God never required, we have seen the issues of the Ten Commandments. They are not required as a condition for justification, though. And initially, the Ten Commandments are given for what? For conduct, right? Conduct. Just all about faith and love, love towards God, faith towards God, love towards men. See Romans chapter 3. Let's read 19 and 20 together. I'd love you to see that clearly. When to go, let's read, yes. Now we know that whatsoever things fear the law is fear to them that are under the law. Hold on carefully. Now he said, whatsoever things fear the law is fear to them that are under the law. What are the people that are under the law? The people that rejected the grace of God. Take note of that. It's not actually talking about God is not interested in making anybody guilty, but it's people that rejected the grace of God, people that rejected offer of God, the free offer of God. So it's not God that puts them under the law. It is their own self-rebellion. Amen? You get what I'm trying to say, sirs? Okay, I'll wait for you. It is their own, it is that, that is why you can't keep assessing yourself as touching salvation. We are talking about maybe 2 Corinthians 13 that is saying, examine yourself, whether you believe faith. That is not talking about salvation. That is talking about steadfastness in faith. Like if you are still saved, it's rather talking about your conduct. Because he actually mentioned it. He said, this is the time I'm coming. And when I come, say, I will not spare anybody that has sinned. So talking about their conduct. So that is not talking about your justification towards God. Are you with me? Okay, so I said we are reading Romans 3, right? 19:20 again. Want to go slowly? Yes. Now we know that whatsoever things fear the law is fear to them that are under the law, that every man may be stopped, all the world may become guilty before God. So the people that put themselves under the law, under rules and condition to please God, the same law now call them guilty. Don't forget. But don't forget the beginning. The beginning is that they don't trust God enough to save by his own power. They wanted to contribute. They wanted to say, Lord, do part. It was a continuous rejection of the grace of God that brought about what we call the 20 laws of Moses. So verse 29, okay. Wait for you, so writing. Verse 20, okay. One to go, let's read. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? Because it's the knowledge of sin. That means it's just like that simple thing that Jesus said, that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. So once seeking, what we call lawyer is simply seeking God outside Christ. That's the primary way you can define legalism. Legalism will be, that grace we are looking at our salvation, verse 27. Legalism will be seeking God outside Christ. To seek God outside Christ. I'm not saying outside God, outside Christ. Christ is the way out. And so go back to like Proverbs 15, verse 8. So the people that tried to justify themselves by the law himself is coming to condemn them. The law himself dealt with them. Self-improvement does not equate salvation. Salvation is not self-improvement. Of course, there are improvements in the man's conduct after salvation, but they are post-redemptive reality. But salvation itself is not self-improvement. No, it's not. It's far, far from that. It's what God by his own self did for man in Christ. Proverbs 15, verse 8. Slowly, one, two, go. Yes, okay. That's another. Proverbs 15, verse 8. One to go. Let's read now. Okay? Zachariah was a wicked. It's what? It's an abomination. We amplify and put that place. It said, the sacrifice of the wicked sinner is an abomination, hateful, and exceedingly offensive to God. The sacrifice of the wicked, that is a sinner, is an abomination. It's hateful and exceedingly offensive to the Lord. Exceedingly offensive. Let me explain what they mean. What is meant by sacrifice of the wicked? The wicked is just, the wicked in this context is the one that is doing too much to be saved. You are doing too much. You are doing too much. Well, you may not be able to relate with this because you are born into Christianity. If you see people who have the foundation of other religions, you will understand better. Okay, let me clarify something. You know, we can most times we say that Christianity is not a religion, it's a way of life. The religion of Amen. Let me say it's the religion. The only thing we don't do is in a man, you don't compare it with other religions. Because it is the religion. Because if you remember 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it said, great is the what? Mystery of godliness. After that godliness there, actually we'll say be something like that in the Greek. It means the approach towards God, the piety towards God, the mode at which through which we approach God. So people approach God through different means. Paul now explained that this is our own godliness. This is our own religion. God was manifest where? In the flesh, justified where? In the spirit. So it's not about, so the main thing is not about you are not going to spoil your Christianity by saying it's a religion or it's not a religion. It's about what is your Christianity? That your religion, what is it? Are you with me? Are you with me? So it's about that your own religion. What is it? How do you define it? Religion is not religions are steps. They are actually steps people take to approach God. But our own step now is that we took no step. Hallelujah. You get that? Our own step. Some people's step is do this, do that, do plenty of things. But we too, we have our own step. And what's that step? Do nothing. Hallelujah. We just trust in His Christ. Say, Jesus is our religion. Now, I'm not saying it's our, I know the way you are saying it is looking like, the way it looks like in English, it looks like it's our, it's our fanaticism. We don't always see religious fanaticism. No, it's not, I'm not saying it's our fanaticism. Well, based on zeal at times, you can even call it our fanaticism. It's my own. What is your business? But main thing is the event. What is your Christianity? God became a man. He died for my sins. He rose again. See the explanation? Matters more than the definition. That's what a minister must do. Okay, so back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Man has always been trying to cover his shame, to be able to fellowship with God again in his mind. That is the point. You are doing things to approach God. It will take you farther from the same God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Take it together. One, two, go. Okay, I'm going to come on fast. Genesis 3, verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. Genesis 3, verse 7. 7, 7, 7, 7. I read it up. Genesis 3, verse 7. Okay, good. Let's go. Let's read. Want to go? And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. Amen. Amen. Who sent them? Why? What do you think? What do you think is the meaning of tree of knowledge and good and evil? I gave a definition. Maybe I didn't finish it. And tree of life would be what? Self, God. Tree of life would be what? God dependency. Tree of knowledge and good and evil would be what? You know, something is missing in that equation. Let's update it today. Self dependency to what? And God dependency to what? Fine now, be fast. Come on. What do you think Adam is trying to achieve? You believe? From everything I've said today, what do you think Adam was trying to achieve? Is it to depend on God for things? All right, now say it very well. Let me hear you. God dependency for what? Why do you think he took the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Self-dependency to know, to approach. Tree of life would be what? God dependency to what? See a God factor. So you can say Adam Ed trying to do the right thing. Okay, what do you think was tempting Adam in the garden? Was trying to gyrate? Want to be going to club? Or what? What is he to depend on God to get? Who is the image of God? Christ. Right? Who was created before Adam? Christ. I didn't say as a man, no, but in the mind of God, right? Genesis 1, 26, 27. So Adam was to trust God for salvation. But tree of knowledge of good and evil, he trusts himself, but guess what? For salvation. Or what do you think he's trusting? What do you think? Or for what? Amen. So the effort of man will always be useless, totally futile and insufficient. So read verse 8, want to go? And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Imagine, with all you have done, what will be your next step? You hide yourself again. So everything there, of course, you know, is figurative, showing you that the more you work for it, the farther you are from it. The more you work for it, the farther you are from it. The more you toil for it. See, these things are not far-fetched. You see, I have several friends in Catholic, still doing lots of these things. The more you toil for this, the more your confidence diminishes. The more.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
So we now saw something figuratively, also in Genesis 3, 20, 21. And the Lord God made clothes out of an animal. I'm reading Goodness Translation. And the Lord God made clothes of an animal skin for Adam and his wife. And he what? Clothed them. And he clothed them. So, of course, Moses is using this to describe two things. That number one, hold on. Looks like he took an animal, killed it, covered them with blood, the skin, which is with blood. And don't forget, it is Moses that was writing. So, those events will teach us the following. That number one, redemption is coming for man. Number two, it is God that will redeem man. Number three, the only effort that will be sufficient will be the effort of God alone. The only effort, even the effort of, get what I'm saying, even the effort of man will not be sufficient for man. Your effort will not even give you enough confidence. Note that in that analogy that Moses gave us, it was God alone that took the animal, killed the animal, skinned the animal, and clothed man with the fresh skin of the animal. God alone. God alone. So go to Hebrews 10. Don't forget, that is just Moses using pictures to describe how God will save man. Don't see it as literal, like God killed. In which series do I explain to you that God never required for blood? He required for no blood. You see, we are going to read it again. See Hebrews 10. We'll just read from verse 6. Want to go? Verse 6, yes. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou woundest not. Thou hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Lord. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministry and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. For after he has said before that this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their mind will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now when remission of this is, there is what? Therefore what? No more offering for sin. Verse 19, everybody want to go? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So now this one, what I'm saying is that boldness can never come with self-performance. That boldness can only come when you are sure that I am enjoying what another man did. That boldness would never have come via self-performance. Just impossible. God simply wants man to receive his own gift of righteousness. That's serious. Gift of righteousness. Gift. Gift of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. Only God gives it. We'll go back to Romans chapter 5, 17. Romans 5, 17. Want to go? Let's read. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the free gift, of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, how to reign, you must know that what I receive is a gift. Is a gift. Gift of righteousness. Awesome definition that E.W. Kenyon gave us. Ability to approach God, stand before God without any iota of what? Guilt or condemnation or inferiority. That's serious. Hallelujah. That could never have come via human performance. So, but see the issue with man. Rush to Romans 10. From verse 1, read 3 and 4 for me. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, want to go, let's read, come on. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So where is the action of they not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God? Check that place. Check. That action of how did they not submit themselves to the righteousness of God? How? Huh? You are not looking at it. What you are doing? By going about to establish their own righteousness. So, how do you miss out in God is to pursue God. How do you miss God is to look for God. Don't forget what we studied in understanding Genesis. God has happened to all men. Hey. He happened to men. Say God happened to us. Say he sought us. He found us. I'm serious. So it is when you carry car, you are looking for him. That is when you will miss him. God, amen. You died for men. And he rose as a man. So we give praise to God, amen. You died for men. So righteousness is simply a free gift. It's a free gift. Somebody will not say, oh, that is righteousness, out of perfection. Stop looking for it. Those are just grammar. Amen. We are saying you have the ability to stand before God without inferiority. You are saying here, but you are not yet perfect now. What is perfection? But don't allow this different English used to everything is just salvation. Call it sanctification, call it righteousness, call it redemption, call it perfection. It's still salvation. So at times we tend to treat everything in different light. That I've seen a man that said, well, yes, we are redeemed. He said, but that's sanctification. See, that one is a bit. We have to study it differently. He said you can stand before God. No inferiority. So what is sanctification? Hallelujah. Say it's all encompassing. Hallelujah.
And he said in that same Hebrews 10, 14, he spoke about your righteousness in verse 10, tell you that it's through the same events, and it's the same thing, same 14, that by one offering, he had, see, in verse 10, what did the offering do? Where are you focusing? Please move to the front if you are distracted. Thank you. In verse 10, what did the offering do? Verse 10. Hello? In verse 10, what did the offering do? Sanctification, right? Rafa is not there. Wait for him. Good. Look at it. Okay, look at the Bible. So in verse 10, what did the offering do? Sanctification, right? In verse 14, what did the offering do? Perfection, right? How many offering? Say same offering. So you can't be treating it like this is, some people will say, well, it's the crown of the thorns on the head of Jesus. That is the one that delivered us from generational curses. It is maybe the nail on his leg. That is the one that delivers us from what again? You don't watch TBN. I've actually seen one of the TBN Martians that he said he has a mystery of how the suffering of Christ delivers man from everything. So he mentioned, see this man, he mentioned that, okay, they have said this mystery, he has put it in this book. So it was an interview. So he said there are seven things that Jesus took upon himself to take us out of seven different things. Wow. So he now gave us one and two. So for you to get to know the remaining five, go and buy this book. And guess what? You know, one of the five is how he delivered us from poverty. See, if you want to know which part, I remember that he did exegesis on how the crowns on the heads of Jesus, see, that one delivered us from generational curses. Oh, wow! Yeah, of course, he would quote some different Old Testament scripture to say, so no crown. See, as immediately they put that crown on his head, say, all your curses were gone. Wow! You see, you know that the sweat on Adam, so say the sweat on the head of Adam, say thing was, that is the same thing that Jesus was sweating that day, just different thing. Say one offering. Don't be deep. If people to miss God is to be deep, you miss God. You want to try to be deep, let's see, let's dissect it. See, immediately they struck his side. Their forthwith came out what? Water and blood. So, do you know what that one did? Check my book. Is that a preacher? You don't understand. I think you are on international TV. You should be, if your goal is to make men understand, what should you do? First, summarize everything. Tell us first. And I'm saying, tell us. Say, no, you get my book. What are they? It was that even the man, the presenter of that was really interested to know that poverty. He said, tell us this one. He said, no, it's chapter 5.
I'm only. Anyway. Praise God. Romans 8. Oh, sorry, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Say, God is the old giver. It's not a retailer. It's not a zillion merchant. It's not like give you small today, give you another tomorrow. No, he gives you all at once. It's not a retailer. It's not give you small. Don't say, come and be collecting change for me, small. 1K, 2K, 3K. No. He gives you all at once. Amen. He's a whole giver. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Together, once, let's read. Yes, sir. Are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. 8 verse 32, Romans 8, 32. Romans 8, 32. He who did not withhold, let me read the Amplified version. He who did not withhold or spared even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him freely and graciously give us all other things? What are the other things? Things in Christ, Ephesians 1, all the blessings in Christ, we all receive via the same event. Amen. Amen. That is Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in every place in Christ. See, everything has been freely given. Freely given. That's the nation. Freely given. Say freely given. Romans 11:29. Apostle Paul is using this verse to explain something different here. Let us see it. I read the Amplified Version again. Romans 11:29. For God's gift and his calls are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say God does not change his mind. Say God does not have mood swing. Say God is not a feminist. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to report me to your what's that name? So the main thing that a lot of people run for is, okay, let's balance this thing. With what? That's the issue. Is it with the thing that did not allow us to know God? With the works that you know, that is like balance. That is like you took poison before. The poison is killing you. They don't give you an antidote. That's okay. Balance the antidote with what? A little more poison. That's it. Because the people, don't forget, these Jews, especially if you follow that analogy of Romans 2, these Jews say, we know that you are an instructor of babes, a guide to the foolish, a guide to those who don't have the law. So they are not really sinners in quotes. They are not really bad guys. They hate runs. Of course, they can do it secretly, but they see the hate runs like they are decent. All the rebuke of Jesus to them was not astonishing conduct. Was not there, which did Jesus correct that and you guys stop doing this thing? No. So they are now too good for salvation. To the extent that when they now say you need to be saved from what? That rich young ruler came to Jesus. Say, what lack I? What lack I? That is the reason why you lack up. Amen. So someone will say, so what do we do now? What's the answer? Everything. So okay, you say we are saved. So what do we do? Huh? We keep praying. That is your note. We do nothing. Write it down. We do nothing. Don't even thank God for your salvation so as to retain your salvation. You must have that mindset of I am to do nothing. I'm touching this. I am just to receive. Just empty-handed, I'm alive in your hands. Majesty, we're singing. Majesty, your grace found me, your grace has found me, just as I am. Nothing, huh? Don't you offer? Empty and dead. Why are tweaking a bit for us? Why go? Hebrews 4:10. Just nothing. What is the meaning of rest? Check it now. Hebrews 4:10. Let me first read my last 10. How about that? we must be committed to teaching men this. They forget to.
Because as situations of life are boxing, you just be thinking, ah, this God, yeah, this God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Keep this reality.
Okay. Verse 9 and 10, 11. Want to go? From 9.
There remain therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from his. Read verse 10 again, yes. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
See, let me that tricky. Want to go? Let's read. Let us therefore labor. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of.
What kind of labor is that? Jesus. Huh? What is labor? The labor is to do nothing. I mean, the labor is to press brake and stop.
Okay, let me explain this way. You are driving to see God before.
The labor to enter rest is to what? Mash the brake pedal so that you can stop and see God.
Because he's not far away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he's actually not far away. Oh, say it's not far away. Say it's not unreachable. Say it's not beyond man's grasp.
That's the point. It's not, it's just not far away. It's not.
Let's find that place for me. That should be Acts 17. No, I've explained it to you. The one thing I do when we do like those series, I'll be using the extracts from it. Acts 17, verse what? Thank you, ma'am. 27, she said. Yeah, she's right.
Just see. This is a judgment to anybody that is saying, what if God, or people have not get it, because who is that?
See 24. God that made the world and things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. Seeing he gave life to all, he giveth to all life, and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. 27, want to go? That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is not far. Don't go far. Press the brake pedal. Tell your neighbor, say, press the brake pedal. And you will see God. That's it. To the man in religion, just tell him, mash the brake, you will see God. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are rushing. You are doing five pillars of Christianity. Sorry. You are doing 27 things to be. You are doing daily confession. Mash the brake, you will see God. Stop the effort and you will see God. Stop trying and you will see God. Stop trying to see God, then you will see God. Is that clear? Hallelujah. So there is reality in our salvation. Say God is mighty to save. Just don't run away.
That's the point. Or you know, it takes so much more for you not to be saved. We do more to go to hell than to go to heaven. Look at that. You are going to struggle more to enter hell. To enter is a struggle because you will be laboring to be chasing God away. You'll be pushing, say, I'm here. Push. You run again. Big race. Running from God. It's easier to be saved. Sin will give man more labor. Legalism will give you, it will make your life miserable. The mother of all religions, except our own, is do this to see God. Do that. down to see God.
This is part 27. I learned to share this with everybody and ensure you go over it again. Lastly, book of the preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. Stop running. Stop looking for God. And you will see.
That is why it just is as the Holy Ghost says today, when you hear his voice.
What you not do? Just adding not to your heart.
Don't say no.
Remember? Remember, right?
Say not in your heart. Just keep quiet. It's so easy to be said. Say not in your heart.
It's impossible.
You don't say, no, stop. The more you want to investigate outcome, that is why I am making series of our salvation so simple. Just see it. Easy. It's not the so therefore the nail on the third finger of Jesus. And what is it? What is it? That's not the point. Just is what he did. Say not in your heart. It's not true. No, he has not told you to go around preaching it. Just keep hearing it. And but there is power in the message. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. How will faith come? God's word plus man's hearing. God's word is coming, man is hearing, faith will come. That's why I said the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus. So that's why I tell you at times, just learn to just tell an unbeliever. Don't say, I want to make you a Christian. Just say, just hold on. Let me share these things with you. Don't tell him to, don't say, don't ask him now that, what do you decide now? Because you are trying to write something in your PR book so that they can be happy as you. No. Don't kid him. Just hear me out. Teach him today. These are the events. Tomorrow. Say, can I see you tomorrow? Yeah, I can see you tomorrow. Okay, come again tomorrow. Just share. Share. This is it. This is it. Leave his Muhammad, leave his Buddha or whatever he's worshiping. Leave his. Just share. See it. Say, there is power in the message. Hallelujah. Let's read this one and then we'll be done with this. 4 verse. 3 verse 14. One to go, let's read. Yes. I know that it shall be. Okay, again, please want to go be louder. Yes. Hallelujah. Let me read Amplify for you. I know that whatsoever God dwells, it endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God does it so that man will reverently fear him, revere him, and worship him, knowing that he is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Say, I have liberty right now to live for Christ and him alone. Say, I am born into harmony and bliss. I have peace with God eternally. All things in Christ are mine now. I am perfected in Christ. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm sanctified in Christ. I'm redeemed in Christ. I am a living wonder. I am a new creature. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sir Peace. Amen. I didn't say she's.